Hello, my name is Joel Reinberger.
And my name's Andrew Hogan.
This is Nerdzilla, the podcast.
The podcast. Well, that's pretty much it. He's the podcast.
I'm very tired, Andrew. I've done a lot of early mornings.
I believe you have. I've actually heard you on some of those early mornings as I whisk my way to work.
So the podcast made by nerds for nerds, which is still mysteriously here.
Your son's trying to give you money. You should take it, dude. Because it doesn't happen much.
It's the last time it will ever happen. We're about to see the Eternals, the new Marvel movie. What do you know about Eternals, the comic franchise?
I know that it's Eternals, not the Eternals. Very important. Beyond that, not a thing. Literally nothing.
That's actually really good in terms of this review, because Eternals is a very complicated franchise. Have you heard of the Celestials? Has that come to your attention in the Marvel world?
Yeah, vaguely in the Marvel universe. Don't know what they are, though.
So giant, godlike, cosmic beings who visited Earth and mucked around with human evolution, and they left the Eternals here to kind of look after humanity.
Mucked around with human evolution. That old chestnut again. Oh, that happened 17 times before Tuesday in the Marvel Universe.
They created two races, the Eternals, who are unchanging. They're immortal, and if they do get destroyed, the machinery just makes a new one, complete with the latest memory backup, and away they go. The other race are called the Deviants, and they are always changing and mutating, and they all look very, very different to each other. And so you've got the Eternals eternally at war with the Deviants and keeping track of them so they don't overtake humanity.
Just point of order here, could I guess maybe posit that the Deviants are the bad guys? Because it's sort of in their name. Like it's a bit like when you watch Transformers and you go, like, literally they're called Decepticons. It's in their name. Of course they're bad guys.
And yet Transformers are just as deceptive as the Decepticons.
No, but they're Autobots. Don't you be besmirching Optimus Prime, okay? I will not have any of that on this podcast that doesn't exist.
Now, I will say that the old Eternal stories are boring and turgid as hell. The idea is kind of classic, and it's a great setup for a cosmic science fiction series, but the old Eternals comics, anything more than about 10 years old that I've read, has been just dull as dishwater, and I haven't enjoyed actually reading it. The current run by Kieran Gillen is spectacularly good. Mm. It's clever and funny, and you gradually realise it's being narrated by the planet Earth.
Right.
And the Eternals are the machinery designed to protect it. And it's lovely. It's really well done. But this is getting kind of some bad reviews because there's so many characters in it. And it's apparently confusing. So I'll be interested to see if you can keep up.
I read this morning that though it's a film that's got a, on those online rating websites like Rotten Tomatoes and things, there is a real dichotomy between critic scores and fan scores. For example, in some websites, fan scores are above 80%, whereas critics are around the 50%. And, you know, a lot of superhero films are like that, especially when they are a bit dense, because the fans who really like that, really like that. Just... You mentioned before the Eternals are here to protect the Earth. Wouldn't their first move just be to get rid of all humans? Like, that seems the obvious one to me, because we really are a disaster.
Well, humans are the scientific experiment that the Celestials are carrying out. So they're kind of...
Not a very good one.
They're kind of the Igors. You know, yes, Master, I will look after the experiment while you are not here. I will feed the snake and the mice.
And that really went pear-shaped, didn't it, to be quite honest? I mean, because we haven't exactly looked after this place all that well.
No. The other thing that's happened to it recently is that it got... review bombed on IMDb negatively before it came out.
Yeah. Which is just like, could people just know? Just don't. We get criticised enough as fanboys without absolute knobheads doing things like that.
I printed a paper ticket out.
Oh,
I know.
You printed a paper? Why?
Just in case my phone ran out of batteries or something.
What have you been doing on your phone all morning while at work that it's going to run out of batteries?
I was watching YouTube clips, actually.
Said you were working hard today.
Yeah, I was also watching YouTube clips at the same time. Anyway, no, the point being, I printed out it because I was at work and it's works printer and it's works paper, so who cares?
Let's go see what we think of this, hey?
Eternals.
We're Eternals. We came here 7,000 years ago. To protect humans from the Deviants.
Why didn't you guys help fight Thanos? or any war, all the other terrible things throughout history.
We were instructed not to interfere in any human conflicts unless deviants are involved.
By who? We need to find the others.
I haven't seen some of them for centuries.
If this is what the end of the world looks like, at least we have front row seats.
So what did you think?
I loved that. I thought that was really, really entertaining. That was just a good, fun movie. I totally loved coming into it not knowing anything about the characters or even the story or the backstory, because I thought that Chloe Zhao did an amazing job of cramming in exposition without ramming it down your throat, without having characters explain it to other characters so they're explaining it to you. But in amongst all of that, a really, really good action film.
I didn't love it. It's probably one of my least favourite Marvel films so far. It had some of the feeling that I was describing before of the earlier Eternals comics, of being a bit turgid and of being of such a large scale that it's hard to really feel a human connection to the characters enough.
Oh, no. See, I thought the characters... talk about diversity in a movie. On every level, that was one of the most uniquely cast ensemble films I've ever seen. Kumail Nanjiani has to be the standout. He is just... I mean, to see him in a role, you know, a superhero action film, but he's still so funny. He's just hilariously funny. He was terrific. And I
loved his valet. The guy who's hanging out with him the whole time was a... He kind of brought a little touch of humanity. I mean, maybe it was a deliberate choice that they are all a little inhuman in some ways.
Mm. Yeah, correct. And also, were any of them American sounding? I don't think so. That was really interesting. Now, Gemma Chan was on Doctor Who a few years ago. So does it mean her and Karen Gillan are the only Doctor Who actors who've been in the Marvel Universe? I'm going to do some homework on that.
So the story is much as I described it beforehand. The Eternals are set in place upon the Earth by the Celestials to kind of guard humanity from the Deviants. But it turns out to be a lot more complicated than that as things go on. And there's a murder mystery in it to be solved as well. And there's a whole element of getting the gang back together. So the gang of Eternals haven't kind of all been together for some centuries, and they all have to get back together. So the story is much as I kind of described it, but condensed down to a film rather than 20, 30, 40 years of comic history.
Look, I do have one possible criticism, is that when you said that they were deviants, I probably accepted a bit more. I expected a bit more kinkiness. I didn't.
A few more straps and buckles.
Just a little bit of that would have been nice. And what we got was basically Uber Gollum at the end, which was pretty cool, though. I sort of had a bit of trouble working, which is good, actually seeing where the story was going in the third act, as in who was really going to win, and also what does a win look like? Because at some stages you were thinking, well, actually, maybe this might all go pear-shaped. But, of course, the problem with world-threatening enemies and disasters is you know that it won't happen. But I thought maybe the good guys might not quite win in the way they want. But I thought it was satisfying.
Part of my problem with it was that all the conflict in it felt like everyone was bulletproof. You couldn't tell when there was a threat for anyone. You couldn't tell when one hero was superpowered enough to actually beat the bad guys, or vice versa. No one ever felt a threat at any time. That's kind of how it felt to me the whole time, that no one was really threatened in the whole movie because everyone felt like bulletproof rubber dolls that got bounced around the landscape and then stood up again.
Yeah, it didn't take me out of it at all. Because I had no idea what their powers were, nor then what their names were or anything. So basically, my headcanon, I gave them names as the film went on. So Laser Eyes, Super Lara Croft, Kumail is just Kumail, basically. He didn't get a name.
He was Pew Pew.
Yeah, Punching Man. I love Punching Man. Punching Man was great. And to be quite honest, I think that is the single coolest superpower I've ever seen, because it's the onest of one trick ponies, and I was so satisfied with it. I can't remember.
There is an anime called One Punch Man that you have to watch now.
Yeah, I do know that, but this was just great because his power was just punching people, and he seemed to enjoy it a lot. I mean, he really, really enjoyed it.
He was really content to just be a punching guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he punched most in the face. I would have gone downstairs a few times. I mean, because why not?
Monkey punch.
Yeah, well, you know, these things were pretty bad guys. Anyway, at one point I thought that maybe Angelina Jolie was more like a yellow lantern.
Because she creates weapons from nothing, yeah. And so you thought she was creating constructs, but it's only very specific constructs she can make.
And I just realised that Cersei was like Metamorpho, except that she changes other things, not her.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that during the movie. So she didn't get a good name. And Mr. Fix-It Man, I did like him. The dude that could build things. Yeah, I'd like Mr. Fix-It Man.
I was a bit disappointed at the start of that, where he's showing with all his special skills and abilities what he's going to build next, and it's a steam engine. Dude, come on. You're cosmic powered. You should be making some ridiculous thing. A steam engine.
He was making it for the humans, and they hadn't invented steam engines yet. He couldn't just rock up with a V8.
You're going to invent stuff for them. Let's get out of Brock Commodore.
What's he going to invent a bloody V8 supercar? These people haven't even invented petrol yet. I mean, no, you're silly. And he stole the stump jump plough from Australia. Okay, not happy about that one. I thought it was suitably big and bold, which a Marvel film has to be. I thought there were some nice little tender moments as well. It was different to a paint-by-numbers superhero film, though. It just had a little, again, and I think it all got back to the cast.
It had so many good things about it, but it had the same problem for me that Shang-Chi had. Have you actually seen Shang-Chi?
No, I have not.
It feels Disney-fied in that there is absolutely zero blood, and you feel like there is zero chance of blood. Oh, there's one alien that dies with black blood or whatever, but kind of no one cares about that.
Well, it was done for a sight gag too. It was a goo joke, basically. He got slimed. Yeah.
It just felt like everyone was a little bit too nice to each other. Now, there is a nice twist towards the end. There's quite a good twist, and the twist actually worked for me. I thought the twist actually made sense for who the characters were, and which made it a little bit darker than that. But an awful lot of it felt like it had every bit of glitz and glamour and perfection of effect and choosing of the cast, etc. But it was a bit too glossy, and it didn't have a little bit of that kind of dirty Marvel feel. You know, that Ant-Man's a thief, and he screws things up, and Spider-Man gets things wrong, and he's broken, stuff breaks on him, and he's goofy and he wrecks things. This all kind of felt like everyone's kind of perfect in it, and they show a tiny flaw at the start and then they immediately fix it for the person. It's got that Disneyfication of it that it's just missing a little bit of the dirt and the grunge that I think gives character and flavour.
It just, though, basically they were not human. And as you said, they had to demonstrate they were not human. And so I was pretty cool with that. I thought it was just a really fun story that I'd never come across before, that I would, you know, I'm happy and glad that I spent the time watching it.
Now, I am going to ask the young member of the cast, my son Louis is here, did that movie make sense to you?
I didn't care about the characters' names, but it was all right apart from that. I could kind of understand what was happening.
Did you understand who they were and what they were on Earth to do?
Were they protecting them? From this, like, big thing that's erupting, and apparently that's also global warming.
could I make that point that they actually explained climate change in the film? And, I mean, oh my goodness, Scott Morrison's going to lose his mind when he finds out that it's not actually Emmanuel Macron's fault.
So did you like it, though?
I thought it was pretty good.
There wasn't really much humour. There was a couple of little smiley bits in it, but nothing that made me laugh out loud. Did you find any of it really funny?
Yeah, every time Kumail was on the screen. His character has got some wonderful, not right to call them sight gags, but for example, when we find out what he's been doing in the hundreds of years since they sort of broke up the band, it's so perfect. It's like, well, of course he would go and do that. And it just suited him. He was a great actor to choose for that. But wasn't it great to see Salma Hayek in a superhero film? She's just fabulous.
I would have liked to have seen her kicking a little bit of arse instead of being the motherly healer, yeah, but
true.
That's all right.
True.
You need one of those in the movie.
In fact, you did, and she was exactly that character to the group, and I think the group actually needed the motherly character, who's got, of course, an actual dark secret that is very important by the time we cycle back to it at the end of the movie.
Music, I was incredibly nonplussed by. Like, there was a couple of songs chosen in it that were particularly good. There's one very early in the film that we just looked at each other and went, yeah, that is fantastic. But in terms of the actual score, almost entirely generic.
Yeah, the score was unremarkable. I don't recall any part of the film where I was like, oh, wow, the music is driving this. It's, you know, there wasn't any Hans Zimmer moments or Tom Holkenberg where you know, I've just mentioned guys who only do who've done Zack Snyder films, of course, but, you know, their music is part of the scene. Their music is often in the front of the mix, in fact, quite often. But I wasn't expecting the songs, the rock songs, when they did appear, and they all appeared in perfect spots and they were perfectly chosen, and that's unlike a Marvel film. You know, that the Avengers didn't do that sort of thing.
Oh, I don't know. Guardians of the Galaxy did the music thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Damned perfectly.
But in fact, in Guardians, the music was a part of the story.
Yeah,
it was an integral part of one of the characters. Whereas in this, it was just music in a film. And I think films go well when there's a bit of music in them, actual songs.
What are you going to give this out of 10, Hoax?
At 10, we're going 10, are we?
Going to go 10 because I hate half stars.
You hate half stars?
Like you know, if someone says 2.5 stars, well, just measure it out of 10 and give it 5 then.
Okay.
I think if it's a half stars, well, you need to change the metric by which you're measuring it. Well, so out of 10.
Why don't we go out of 20 or 40 or...
Because I said 10 and I got the microphone. Just shut up. Out of 10.
7.5.
3.5 stars.
Sorry? 3.5 stars. Out of how many?
4.
You give it a 3.5 out of 4.
He's changed the numerator and the denominator. No, 7.5. Absolutely.
Okay, 7.5 out of 10. You're going to give it. I'm going to give it 5 out of 10. Like, technically, lovely, but just completely failed to grab me. And it's very rare for a Marvel movie to fail to grab me.
Yeah. I don't know what else Chloe Zhao's directed. I'm going to look it up now. But this would have to be... Oh, she did Nomadland. This would have to be her first big-budget superhero film. And there was a certain eye to that film. There was a certain point of view that I don't think we would have got if it wasn't a director like her. And so I hope she keeps making films in that genre and keeps getting big budgets and really great cast.